Well, good morning, Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church. My name is Ryan. I'm the Director of Family Ministries, and it's so great to be worshiping with you this morning. As we enter into this time of our worship, as we enter into God's Word together, I want to invite you to grab your Bible, whether it's your physical Bible, your iPhone, or you have it on your iPad, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 16 this morning. While you're grabbing that, I'd love for us to be thinking together about the past 4 or 5 months. Now, that might be something that not many of us want to do because, let's be honest, not a lot has gone according to plan. In fact, I'm sure there were birthday celebrations, there were weddings to be had, there were anniversaries to be celebrated, all kinds of things that just kind of went out the wayside. Or maybe you had plans to go on that amazing vacation that you had saved up for your entire life, and that suddenly became not an option. I remember when all of this kind of began unfolding in the United States, I was in the middle of a Target. I was in Target in La Quinta, and I was in an aisle, and it was mid-March, and I heard this group of moms begin rumbling and talking in an aisle over. And as a parent, I picked up on two words, school and canceled. And I heard that, and I rushed over there and just immediately put myself into the conversation with the moms. And I said, what happened? Did school get canceled? And they looked at me, and they were like, yes. One of the moms in particular, I remember, was like, I'm going to be stuck inside my house with my kids for a couple weeks? Now, we can laugh at that now because we know it went far beyond a couple weeks. But we can understand the sentiment here that nothing in the past several months has gone that great. In fact, I wake up most days, roll over in bed, grab my phone, look at the news, see how much bad there's going on in the world. And I just kind of put my phone down and think, oh my goodness, I'm overwhelmed. It is overwhelming the amount of bad news that we face on an almost daily basis. Whether it's the skyrocketing unemployment rate, or even the death rate, or the infection rate, or this or that, and that's just the pandemic. Over the past few months, I've also had people who just have normal life kind of happen. I've had husbands leave their wives, that I've had to be there for people in the midst of such tragedy. This world is full of heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak. And if you're anything like me, there are times where all of the pain of this world, all of the pain that we are experiencing collectively and individually, can almost seem so deeply unbearable that we can't seem to even see any good. I know for me, as a parent, coming back to school being canceled, there were times where I just wanted to slam my head against the wall because I couldn't bear the thought of waking up to do the same thing all over again with my kids who didn't want to do online school in the first place. All of these realities are awful if we allow them to be awful. Several years ago, I went to this event and I heard a speaker talk about this idea of pain and suffering and the tragedies and the hardships of life. And he said something that I'll never forget. And as we enter into this time, as we think about this passage this morning, I want you to be holding this in your mind. He said this, pain is inevitable. Essentially, pain is something that we're all going to experience, and it's going to come at us in different ways. The way you experience pain and tragedy is always going to look different because you are an individual and you have your own life, and the way life comes at you is different than the way it comes at me. But no matter who we are, we can count on one thing. Pain is inevitable. It's going to happen. There are things in this life that simply will not go the way that we plan. So that's part one of this. But the second part was suffering is optional. What he talked about at this event, he essentially leaned into the fact that suffering is our response to the pain. When we look at the circumstances of life, whatever it is that's around us, whether it's a pandemic or just the daily struggles that we face without a pandemic, that's pain. But what you choose to give your attention to give your focus, to give your heart, to give your all, and choosing to just focus on the pain is choosing a life of suffering. We often conflate the two. We put them together and we think that they're one and the same, but the speaker separated them. And for us this morning, I'd like us to consider separating them in our own minds and hearts as well, because I don't think they're quite the same thing. They are very unique realities here. There are things that will always happen to us, but we have a choice in how we interact and react to the things that come at us on a daily basis. Pain's inevitable, but suffering is optional. I want to invite you to grab your Bible, and we're in Acts chapter 16. And I want to read a story with you this morning that's all about Paul and Silas, who were living their lives for God. They were doing all the right things. So in our brain, sometimes we think when we do the right things, when we are following God with our lives, all the right things should be happening to us. But Paul and Silas knew time and time again that that wasn't always the case. In fact, they often went to places that were quite dangerous. It got them in situations that were not always the best or the situation you would want to be in. And today our story is one of those situations. So we're going to start in verse 16 and we're going to read through this through verse 34. If you have your Bible, you can follow along. It says, "One day, as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved.' This went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And instantly it left her. Her master's hope of wealth were now shattered. So they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city is in uproar because of the Jews, they shouted to the city officials. They are teaching customs that are illegal for us as Romans to practice. A mob quickly formed around Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and then they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, 'Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here.' The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved along with everyone in your household.' And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of the night, the jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Now, this story starts out pretty difficult, pretty rocky for Paul and Silas. Here they are, they're going out, they're doing missional work in the world, doing things for God. And again, we come back to this thought that we tend to have every now and then, that if I'm following God, if I'm just doing the things I should be doing, then things should go according to plan. Things should go right for me. Things should go well. But you know what we call that? We call that a prosperity gospel, which nowhere in the Bible do we see this reality that if we follow God, yeah, everything in your physical life here on earth goes well. That's not the gospel. You see, the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is that anywhere and everywhere we go, whether that means we are experiencing tremendous pain, loss, and agony, the good news is that you are not going through it alone. Because you have a Savior who walks through the murkiness of life with us. And you see, Paul and Silas understood that. One of the reasons that they're able to go into all these places and experience such pain in life is because they know that they are not alone. Coming back to what we talked about last week, if you remember our sermon last week, we talked about keeping the main thing the main thing. And for these two, they were keeping Christ the sole focus of everything that they did, because they knew that that is where true life and wholeness rested. And so that is what essentially carried them through all of these experiences, no matter where it was that they ended up. And so here we find Paul and Silas continuing to do God's work, and they make a lot of people mad. They make one guy in particular mad because they kind of messed up his finances. He didn't like that, and so he gets them to get thrown into prison. And not only that, but they're beaten, they're shackled. These are experiences that you and I probably haven't faced, but we can probably imagine just how horrific this situation and this scene probably was in real life. This is not a situation that you or I or anyone probably ever would choose to be a part of. I can't imagine a moment in the story where Paul and Silas are being beaten, where they're thinking, oh, this is what I want. No. Most of us, if we could eliminate pain, we would. But the problem with eliminating pain is that we need pain to experience growth. What do I mean by that? Well, if you think about the entire reality of the cross, there is resurrection, but it's only experienced first and foremost through death. You see, for Paul and Silas, what they knew about who Jesus was, that they had heard about so fresh in their minds and in their hearts, was that death, even death, could be conquered by keeping Christ the sole focus of everything that we do and everything that we are. Even death itself couldn't keep Christ down. There was always resurrection waiting on the other side. And so in the midst of all of the pain that they are experiencing, we find that around midnight, despite being beaten and shackled, they're worshiping. They're lifting their voices to God out of celebration for who he is. Now, for you and I, we think back on the past 4 months, and how many times have we worshiped in the middle of the night? Probably not a lot, if we're totally honest with ourselves. In fact, we may have been cursing God's name. We may have been like, why, God? Why am I still at home with my children? Why can't school start? Why isn't the pandemic finished? Why this? Why that? Why are you allowing such horrific things to happen to me? That's our natural tendency as broken, fallen people, and yet we see here a demonstration for us of, again, keeping the main thing the main thing, but Paul and Silas are imprisoned. How on earth could they be singing songs of celebration and glory to God? Well, I want to argue for a moment that I think that Paul and Silas understood that they actually weren't imprisoned. Now, you might be thinking, Ryan, you're crazy. The story obviously says they're thrown in prison. Right, they're in a physical prison. But there's a different kind of prison, a prison that you and I put ourselves in. We tend to trap ourselves and we don't even realize it quite often. But Paul and Silas saw that they were actually free. You see, coming back to the gospel, if death can be conquered and resurrection awaits, then what we're talking about is freedom. Christ came to free the slaves. Christ came to bring freedom for those who were oppressed and broken, which are all of us. Each and every one of us in our own way are these people. We're all oppressed, cast out, broken, downtrodden, not wanted, not important. No matter how much we try to pretend like we're important, we all are human beings, each and every one of us. And Christ came to bring freedom. He didn't come so we could stew in our sadness and depression. Now, the feelings that we feel while we're experiencing pain are deeply valid, and I don't want to discount those. So this morning, if you're going through something, I don't want you to hear in this that what you're experiencing and the pain you feel is invalid. It's very valid. In fact, it's so valid that God sees you and he's with you in the midst of it and he holds you tight. You've never been let go. That's how seen and heard each and every one of us are, even when we don't realize it. We have a God who loves us so much, and there's freedom in that. Because we don't have to be fearful of the ways of this world that try to cloud in and say, you know what? You aren't important. We allow the world and the trappings of this world to eke into our minds, and we trap ourselves. When we read a story about imprisonment, immediately remember the story of the Israelites. If we go all the way back to the book of Exodus, as we consider this story, think for a moment about these people. The Israelites were enslaved for many years by the Egyptians. They had been beaten, shackled, forced to do manual labor, all of the things that you can imagine, just horrific, horrific realities. And God chooses to free them. He sends Moses, and Moses brings about deliverance with God's grace. They free the people. And we often stop the story there. We see the Exodus happen, and they go out into the wilderness. But the story doesn't wrap up there. In fact, the story kind of takes a dark turn because God brings them out of deliverance. He brings them out of slavery. He delivers them into a new life. They're no longer physically slaves, but they have not yet quite understood in their minds that they're free. And so God gives them the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are an example. Some of the things that we see in there are don't murder, don't steal. These are no-brainers, right? They kind of had to relearn how to be human beings in the midst of all of this. And so as they're kind of entering into this newfound freedom out of slavery, they kind of get grumbly and complainy, because they're out in the desert and it's taking a little bit longer than what they thought. God freed them. Yeah, they're glad about that, but they start getting angry and upset. Moses goes up on a mountain at one point, right, to go be with God. And they grow so frustrated that they build an entirely different God and worship that. They take the focus off of the one who had just rescued them, and they put it on something earthly. And Moses comes down. Him and God are furious at this reality. And they're just thinking, what's going on? What's going on in the mind of the Israelites? why are they doing this? Not only that, but the comment that I want to make sure that we pinpoint here is that at one point in their struggle post-freedom, they make this comment that they'd rather be back in slavery than be wandering around in the desert as free people. In their minds, who makes that statement that I would rather be back in the control of the Egyptian people who were evil to them, who did horrific things, horrible things? But they grow uncomfortable, and they don't quite like being around the desert, and it's not going the way that they wanted. And yeah, but they're free. They so quickly forget the freedom that God brought them, and they went right back into we'd rather be back in slavery. I'd rather grumble and complain about everything. Brothers and sisters, it's easy for us to just fixate on the negative when there's so much good around us all the time. For me, in my life, how this has played out, my brother passed away several years ago. Really unexpectedly, I got a phone call in the middle of the night from my mom crying. I'll never forget it. And you can imagine the feelings. If you've ever lost somebody in your life, you know how tragic that can be. And again, those feelings are valid. When somebody dies, especially when they're someone young and it's kind of out of the blue, it's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be hurt. It's okay to be angry. These are emotions that you and I have, but where we go wrong and where I believe I went wrong was I stewed so much on my anger, frustration, heartache, and pain that I allowed that to become this ongoing suffering in my life for years. And before I had known it, I had dragged myself into this deep, deep depression. I didn't see it for myself for quite some time. I had lots of people who continued to love me in the midst of this time and this season in my life, who wanted me to see the freedom of what Jesus offers for me and for you. Eventually, I recognized that I was causing so much of my own misery. I was stewing so deep on the tragedy of life, on the pain of life, that really, if we think about it, worship is the thing that we give all of our time, our attention, and energy to. In some ways, I would argue that I was actually worshiping my pain. I would hold my pain up and say, look at what I'm going through. Look at how tragic this is. And eventually I used that as a crutch or something to lean on so I didn't have to keep growing and keep pushing through. I stewed in the death, never to move on to the resurrection, the new life, the good news. Eventually, thanks to the help of lots of loving people like I mentioned previously, I started seeing a therapist. And one of the things this therapist said to me that really resonated deep within my heart was that she said, Ryan, you fell face first into a mud pit. Now, this morning, you probably have a mud pit. Maybe it's crippling financial debt. Maybe it's a relationship that went south. Maybe it's you're stuck at home with your kids and it's been 4 months and you don't know when the end is. Life has a way of us tripping. That's a natural thing that happens. We fall face first, and we're in a mud pit. And we have a choice. Do we get up out of the mud pit? But she said this to me. She said, Ryan, as I listen to you in life, you come here week after week, what I notice is you're in the mud pit, and instead of trying to get out of the mud pit, you're just throwing mud at yourself. You're flinging it right back on you, and you're just kind of pouting and throwing a temper tantrum in the midst of the mud pit. And you're not able to see the goodness of the world around you. I remember when she told me this, everything began to click differently. I realized how right she was. I started looking at the way that I was holding my pain up in life as this trophy, and it wasn't a trophy. That's not our focus. But we live in a world that so desperately feeds off negativity that it's easy to give power and weight and energy to that. In the midst of all this, I had found a difficult time within my heart and my soul to really truly worship God, because I didn't really believe in that freedom. And once I started working toward more wholeness in my life, I was able to see that worship for God always can happen because freedom is always available, even when we're imprisoned by our situation, no matter what it might be. Coming back to our story about Paul and Silas, we find that they don't allow their situation to dictate their ability to worship God fully with their lives. They look at their situation, and do they like it? Probably not. And yet, in the middle of the night, they begin singing out praises. And what happens next is quite interesting as well, and I want to make sure we don't skip over it because I think it's an important part of the story. But we see the guard, after God opens the prison doors, right? We've heard the song maybe before, he sets the captives free, right? The guard is probably thinking, the captives are all gone, I'm in trouble. He runs down and he's thinking, I don't know what to do, I'm in a situation that's going to cause me a lot of pain. And so his choice, his decision in the moment was, I have no other option, but I'm going to try to kill myself, because that's the only way out. And Paul cries out, no, 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 don't do that. We're still here. Even after God opens the prison doors, none of the prisoners leave. Why? That's such a fascinating part of this story. And I think for us today, as we think about this together, how many times, if we could choose that painless life, we would. The prison doors open and we would run. But the truth is, if Paul and Silas had ran out, just more pain is waiting for them. It's not an escape of pain in life. There will always be painful circumstances no matter what. After the pandemic is over, whenever or however that looks like, I promise you, pain in this world will still exist. It absolutely will. But that doesn't dictate our ability to worship God. See, Paul and Silas, they don't leave. They don't leave because they know pain is everywhere. Pain is inevitable. They stay in their situation because that's a part of life. Pain is a part of our growth process. I oversee Grow Ministries here at the church, and we often use plant metaphors. And for me, I love this idea of plant metaphors because I used to actually plant a garden every year. Every spring I would go and I'd plant a huge vegetable garden. We had a huge backyard area, and it was something that we as a family just really enjoyed. But the one part that I really didn't enjoy every single year, I'd have to go to Lowe's, and we know to have good plants, good healthy plants, you need sunlight, you need water, and you need good soil. Now, if we think about soil as our very lives, soil is dirt. It's already kind of nasty. But the thing that you had to do every year to really cultivate that soil and make it as good as it possibly could be is to actually go get manure and mix it in. So I'd have to go to Lowe's, and I would often get about 20 bags, 20 huge bags of manure. Load them up in my car. My car would stink for weeks. And you lay them all out. You start breaking the bags open, and you have to till the soil. You have to get in there and mix the manure into the soil and then do all your planting. So if you think about this idea of mixing manure into the very soil, into the very fabric of our lives, there's always going to be pain. There's always going to be nasty, stinky things that none of us like. We're always going to have things that get thrown at us from left field. But we have a choice in our response. If we want to grow something beautiful in this world, if we want to open doors, you see, in our story, their understanding of just staying put and being this example for this guard opens up new possibilities of new life in Jesus Christ. Because of their willingness to just sit in the pain and not let the pain become ongoing suffering, but actually see joy and goodness and gratitude for breath and for life in the midst of what they're going through, they become a witness to the world around them. You and I, every moment of our lives, have an opportunity. We have an invitation. The series is called You're Invited. And today, as we close this time, I'd love for you to be thinking about the invitation that you have to worship God in spite of the pain, in spite of what's going on around you, whatever it may be. And again, it could be a multitude of things. Maybe you this morning have a pile of things that just feel like they are weighing you down and burdening your soul. First and foremost, let me tell you and reiterate again, how you feel, what you're experiencing, you're not alone. God is so with you in the midst of that, holding you tight. You are not experiencing the tragedies of this world by yourself. We always have a God who is with us, who wants us to enter into the freedom that He brings. And that freedom is from allowing those difficulties to trap us, to bind us, to keep us from proclaiming the good news. Paul and Silas saw beyond the shackles. They understood that even though they were in prison, they were actually free. They were free to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the world, anywhere and everywhere they were. And because of their willingness to accept that invitation and lean in, they saw transformation in other people's lives. Brothers and sisters, each of us have an opportunity to bring that same message of hope to a world that is so filled with brokenness, pain, and hurt. We can choose to lean into that and to dwell on the pain and to throw a pity party and to just roll around in the mud and throw the mud right back on us. But that's allowing the pain to win. That's choosing a life of suffering. And what we have been invited into is choosing a life of freedom in Christ, to worship Him no matter the circumstance that's around us, and knowing that He is always with us in all of it. As we wrap up this morning, may you experience the fullness of the freedom that Christ brings. Despite the circumstance around you, know that you have been freed from the bondage and the trappings of this world. And may you bring that reality with you in all that you do. May grace and peace be with you.